Take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel again. Book of Ezekiel. In chapter 16. Last week we started this chapter off by beginning to look at verses 1 through 5. And then our study last week in these verses, we saw that the prophet Ezekiel, again, is given instructions. Again, it's the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah, the word of our God, that came unto him. And we saw last week that sin, the abominations of Jerusalem, provokes God to anger. The abominations that Jerusalem had committed moved God to anger. And he's charging Ezekiel to cause them to know their abominations. We spent a week last week looking at that thought that sin provokes God to anger, not just the sins of Jerusalem, sin in general. He's angry with the wicked every day. He, just as Jerusalem was the people of God, we the people of God today, he doesn't like our sin. He doesn't like it when we sin. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin. What great love that was, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for me. To die for me. And then in time, in the fullness of time, he gave me repentance and faith. And what great things that he has done for me, and how can I treat it lightly by going ahead and carrying out the desires and passions of the flesh? And so God had done nothing for me. And as we go through this chapter, in essence, that's what he's saying to Jerusalem here. He's going to point out what they were before he found them, before he passed by them, before his love was upon them. And we closed out the thoughts last week with the sins of Jerusalem were especially so. They were especially abominable. Quite some time ago, had studied the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel and the sight, the vision that he gave to Ezekiel of Jerusalem, of the temple, and all the sins that they had desecrated. The place that was to be a place of God's holiness, a place of God's holy name being there, a place of God's worship. And they were worshiping everything but the Creator God. Everything that they worshiped was what God had created, but they failed to worship the Creator God, the existing God. Let's read verses 1 through 5 again before we get started on our next point here. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Cause her to know her abominations. That's going to be our primary thought for this evening. And thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. To do any of these things he mentioned in verse 4. None have pity on him to do those things. To have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Though, and consider Jerusalem. Jerusalem was to be a place of great knowledge concerning the things of God, to have great understanding, and even though she was in a place of great knowledge, a place of great understanding, and God had over and over again tried to make known to them His will and His ways and His paths, His word, that which pleased Him. He had set before them, before entering into the promised land, He had set before them the path of blessing and the path of cursing. If they obeyed His commandments, obeyed His will, then they would be blessed. If they disobeyed His commandments and rebelled against His commandments, then they would face suffering and cursing, the wrath of God upon them. And yet, with all this, she is unwilling to know her abomination. She is unwilling to acknowledge her abomination. She's unwilling to fess up to her wrong and to repent before God. Men in general are so partial in their own favor that they're hardly aware of their sin at all. I've talked to individuals. You've heard me say it over and over again. Talk to individuals. I've talked to saved people who have done wrong, and they don't own up to it. The wicked, they don't think they've done anything wrong. They Well, as far as man's concerned, I might have done a little something wrong, but it's not that big a deal. And all the while, they're committing fornication, adultery, drunkenness, whatever it may be. You see, men in general fail to see their own evil, their own wickedness, the wickedness that they abound in, the wickedness that is in their heart. They deny it. If they're a little bit aware of it, they'll try to hide it, try to cover it up. Don't want you to see. Don't want me to see. They try to, in any way, shape, or form that they can, to lessen the severity of their sin. And as I think of our country tonight and the politicians of our country, it doesn't matter whether Democrat or Republican, or independent, or whatever. They don't realize the wickedness they abound in. They don't want to fess up to it. They don't think they are doing anything wrong. Turn with me to the book of Job. The book of Job in chapter 20. And look with me here at verse 12. Pay attention to the words that are written here. Though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels is turned, it is the gall of asp within him. He hath swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of the ass. The viper's tongue shall slay him. He shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. That which he labored for shall he restore, and shall not swallow it down according to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein, because he hath oppressed, hath forsaken the poor, because he hath violently taken away an house which he builded not. Surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. There shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. They're describing to us the way of the wicked, the wickedness that abounds in him, and what he does to hide it, and what he does to cover it up, and the way he goes about trying to ignore that it's even there, and even to the point of it making him sick. And sin will eventually sicken you. Look with me at the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. You see, we just read concerning the wicked and how that he doesn't like to know his sin, doesn't like to be aware of his sin. doesn't like to reveal his sin. He hides his sin. But in the book of Psalms 100, I've got 109, I think I want. Well, let's look at it. I don't think that's the one I want. Psalms 109:17-18. Okay. Yes. The one I was just thinking of is down further. We'll get to that one too eventually. In verse 17, as he loved cursing. You got that? This wicked one loves cursing. Or this man doing it. He loves cursing. So let it come unto him. Let him be accursed. Let cursing come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. What's it talking about? It's talking about walking in the ways of wickedness. So let him walk in the ways of wickedness. Let him experience the cursing of it. And in walking in the ways of wickedness, he despised the blessings of God. Then let him be far away from the blessings that come from those that do right and those that do righteousness. Verse 18, as he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garments, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. No good for him. He loves his evil. He loves his wickedness. And he's going to reap the benefits. He's going to reap the works of his wickedness. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. In verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Did you see that? He that hideth hatred with lying lips. He's full of hatred and bitterness. And he covers it up by lying. Speaking smooth things. He's a hypocrite. He's a fool, it says. What's a fool? One that is void of understanding, that is void of God and His truth. One more on this thought. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In verse 9, rejoice, O young man. Now, right away, if you know the context of this, you know he's not telling this young man to rejoice. It could be read, don't rejoice, young man, in thy youth. You see, a period of youth is a period of learning, a period of growing. And youth, a young man in his youth is full of filling his heart, satisfying his heart's lust and desires and passions, following those things. O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. You go ahead. You go ahead and you have your fill of your youth and yourself in your youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart. Go ahead. You walk in the ways of your heart. And you rejoice in things. And you cheer yourself up in those things. And in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. In other words, you go ahead. You go ahead and do that. You go ahead and rejoice in those things. You go ahead and cheer yourself up in those things. But know this. There's a payday coming someday. God is going to bring you into judgment someday. So, that is the way of man. That was the way of Jerusalem. And as we think of Jerusalem and being in that way and not wanting to know her abominations, not wanting to know her sins or trespasses against God, we can compare it to us tonight. There are even church members. Even been me in the past. Hopefully not again. But the truth of the matter is, we don't care. We don't want people to know our sins. We don't want them to know our shortcomings and our failures. But let's look at the reverse side of it. The other side of it. It is necessary. It is necessary that we should know our sins. Especially the people of God. The people of God need to know their sins, should know their sins, should be aware, should acknowledge their sins. How are we going to cry out to the Lord? How are we going to confess our sins? How are we going to confess our transgressions to the Lord if we're not aware of them? If we're trying to hide them, trying to keep them from everybody else and ourselves as well. We need to know that and be aware of our sins. We need to know that we need to confess our sins and to know that God is just in what He brings upon us when we don't confess our sins, when we don't acknowledge our sins, when we seek to cover our sins, when we seek to hide our sins. Turn with me. And you're going to recognize these. That's okay. You should. And probably quote them. But turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 32. Psalms chapter 32. You look with me here at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. He's talking to God. He's talking to the Lord. He said, I acknowledge my sin. That word acknowledge goes to know. I knew my sin, and I acknowledged it to you. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I didn't try to hide it. I knew And I acknowledged it to you. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. On that. Pause. Reflect upon it. Yes, that's one of our memory verses. We ought to pause to think upon that every day. First of all, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. I'm not hid it. When I knew my sin, I didn't hide my sin. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. And he forgave us the iniquity of my sin. You see, you want forgiveness of your sin? Or you want the judgment of God upon your sin? Turn with me to the 34th chapter. 34th chapter. This one gives us just a little different thought. Verse 17. The righteous cry. Oh. So the righteous cry. The righteous shout out. They cry out. Do they cry out? And the Lord heareth. When you and I, as children of God, when we cry out, acknowledge, confess our transgression unto the Lord, he hears. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. In other words, he doesn't hold you accountable to it. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you from all unrighteousness. We'll read that verse in just a minute. But if we don't confess our sins, if we fail to acknowledge our sin, and we try to hide our sin, and we don't confess it to Him, my days will be full of troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Oh, when we sin, is our heart broken? And do we fall into the dust over our sin before God? Confessing our sin. Saying the same thing about our sin that God says about our sin. Realizing that it is against God. And oh, how I hate my sin. I think too many times, too many of us are in love with our sin. And so therefore, we fail to acknowledge it. And we hide it. And we continue on in that path and in that sin. Turn with me now to the book of 1 John. First John chapter 1. I'm going to start from the beginning of this chapter because it goes to what we're seeing here in the book of Ezekiel in the 16th chapter, telling us at least what God has done for us. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, John is speaking this as an apostle. He's speaking of that which from the first, when Jesus first coming, and he tarried with Jesus, and he learned from Jesus what Jesus intended him to know. You and I have been saved from the first that we were saved. We've seen these things. We've handled the word of life with our hands. We delight in it. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Remember the day that light came to you? Remember the day that life came to you? That it was manifested unto you? Remember how happy and joyful you were? Full of peace in the Lord? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, and ye also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. We want to have fellowship with the Father, with Jesus Christ. We're His children. We've had the life manifested unto us. We've seen it. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You want joy? You want rejoicing? You want happiness in the Lord? This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Be mindful of that. God is light, and in God is no darkness at all. And what is sin? Sin is darkness. Sin is darkness. But there's no darkness in God at all. And we love God. We've seen the life. It's manifested to us. We're desiring that sweet fellowship with the Father and with the Son. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, I love God, I love His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He died for me, He did so much for me, and we continue to walk in sin. We lie. We don't have fellowship with the Father. Not when we're walking in sin. We're not doing the truth. When we walk in sin, we are not doing the truth, and we don't have fellowship with the Father, and if we don't have fellowship with the Father, we don't have fellowship with His Son. But, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, the Son, and with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us all of our sin. But now He says something to let us know that from time to time we do sin. But do we walk in that sin? Do we walk in darkness? That means to continue to walk in it. If we confess, no, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us all. So a saved person does sin. If a saved person says, well, he has no sin, he's deceiving himself. And there's no, the truth's not in him. John says, oh, so we do sin. Well, what are we going to do when we sin? Then, that we might be restored to fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with one another. And walk in light. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Praise God. And he goes on in chapter 2 then to say that, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Everything what I've just said, and we do sin, but he says, sin not. But notice what he says. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Yes. He's pleading our case. We can come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. We can cry out to Him. Acknowledge our sin unto Him. Not hide it. We can confess. Confess it. And He forgives us our sin. Well, guess we need to